Dear Calvary and friends, this is Pastor Walton with this week's message, and I hope that you're well, and I hope that your families are well. At the outset, before I share this message, I must tell you that I am saddened and outraged at the killing of yet another black man during this pandemic, Mr. George Floyd. What happened in Minneapolis Monday could easily happen right here in Milwaukee next. The issue is that the racism we face as people of color, particularly black African-American people, has become so emboldened and unapologetic. Everyone must pray and decide how to respond to yet another racist killing, but decide we must. It is in that spirit that we pray for George Floyd's family and friends. As we pray, we also pray for justice to be served. Thank you for allowing me just to share that with you. I ask you that in your quiet time that you take some time, maybe even a couple of days, to read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, in totality. For the purposes of this message today, I will be reading 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10, and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. And so I'm now going to ask that you return in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20. And the word of God reads out of the New King James Version, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." And then to 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." And then finally, we move on to our final scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. And it simply says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." I want to repeat that. 1 Corinthians 14, 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." I want to preach as God shall guide from the subject, "I am a church member, part two." I am a church member, part two. Let's pray together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, my sisters and brothers, today we continue with part two of our seven-part series inspired by the book I Am a Church Member by Tom S. Rainer. Last time I introduced the series. Today we delve into chapter one of the book entitled I Will Be a Functioning Church Member. In addition to this, we are observing and celebrating the birthday of the church this weekend. This is what we as Christians refer to as Pentecost. The Anchor Yale Bible Dictionary defines Pentecost as the Greek name for the Jewish Feast of Weeks, deriving from its occurrence 50 days after Passover, Acts 20:16, 1 Corinthians 16 and 8. Because the early Christians received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on this day, the term is now more commonly used to refer to that event recounted in Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. It is my conviction that people need to be taught how to be a part of the church from a biblical point of view. Unfortunately, many who attend our churches know very little about biblical church membership, much less Pentecost. Lawrence Hull Stickey, in his book, Calendar, Christ's Time for the Church, says, "The need for a theology about the day of Pentecost is seen by reflecting on how readily Christians misunderstand the nature of the church. The free-spirited individualism of our age is a manifestation of Babel, not Pentecost, as should be evident from the intransigent divisions and intractable conflicts such individualism fosters. The risen one, who is present at all times and in all places, seeks to bind together by the action of the Spirit all things that have been wrongly separated. Participation, therefore, is not something we do on the basis of personal choice or need. Participation in the body of Christ is inherent in being Christian." Unquote. Besides the should be obvious, receiving Christ Jesus as our Savior and submitting to Him as Lord, thereby being in the local church He assigns us by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Rainer lays out four central themes in the first chapter of his book, we would do well to hear and review. These themes are grounded in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14, and that's why we read a little bit out of each chapter. Interestingly enough, chapter 13 is the anchor because it is the love chapter. Chapter 12 talks about gifts in the church as the Apostle Paul uses the body metaphor to help us understand our interconnectivity to one another. Chapter 14 discusses order in worship during that time and the use of speaking in tongues. But none of this even matters if we are unsaved or if we are not in the place God wants us to be. This is a good place to ask God if you are saved. This is a good place in this message. Not sure who's listening to this message, only God knows. But if there's somebody here who's not saved, here's a good place to ask God if you're saved or to ask Him to make you sure of your salvation. There used to be a time in my life when I was not sure if I was saved. I had been baptized, I had confessed Jesus Christ, and I had been baptized. But at a point in my life, and I think I was probably about 14, 15 years old, I began to have some doubts as to whether or not I was really saved. And a wise person told me that all I had to do was just ask God to make me surer of my salvation. And that's what I did. And we know that the way of salvation, Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so it's a good time, even as you're listening in this message, if you have any doubt whatsoever, just, you know, if you have any uncertainty, just call out and just ask God, just whisper to Him, just speak to Him right now, because that's what really matters. That's the most important thing, is the fact that we are saved. That is more, that is ground zero. Nothing else matters if we are not saved. But if we are saved, oh boy, what a time, what a life we can have because of our salvation. And we know that our salvation came as a result of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That is the gospel, and that is the only way to be saved. And Jesus Christ is the only one who was fit to die on the cross for our sins. And He is the only way of salvation. He is the world's only Savior. So I can't stress that enough. You see how important it is to me that everyone be saved. It's also a good time to seek God's face about whether or not you are in the church, whether or not you're in the local church, the assembly, the place that he has assigned you. It's very important. Knowing if you are in his divine will for you, it's not a feeling, it's an assurance. It is a certain knowing that this is where you should be, whether you think so or not. Many people have floundered on their spiritual path because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I want to say that again. Many people have floundered on their spiritual path because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Another way that I could say it is that many people have wasted time and have invited heartache and headache into their life because they didn't listen to what God had to say about where they should live out their discipleship to Jesus Christ. God has a plan for our lives, and God is the one, if we allow him, he will select our pastors. He is the shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd, but he will send us to the under shepherds that are supposed to feed us for any particular point in time, and only he knows that. And so, for example, many people have floundered because they picked their local church. The Holy Spirit did not. At any rate, I want to share with you these principles that Rainer shares with us. And once again, I want you to understand that the connection that is between the Word of God and between what Rainer is writing about. He's writing only those things that the Scripture inspires. And so, in number one, point number one, membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. Number one, membership means we are all necessary parts of the whole. Once again, I must stress that one must be willing to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 to get a clear picture of what Paul was trying to get across to these early Christians at Corinth and how Rainer, our author, is delineating his points as principles. Having said this, let me quote Rainer. Under this first point, he says, and I quote, "Some church leaders and members view membership as a modern business or organizational concept, so they reject the label as unbiblical. Membership, to the contrary, is very biblical," unquote. In short, every believer, my sister and my brother in a church, every believer in a church, because we all have at least one spiritual gift, can do something under the mission and vision of the house, the local church, to which we belong. And let me also say, let me add, this is not in my manuscript, but let me also say that another good reason to pray and to seek God's face about the local church that you belong to is because God knows what you need, when you need it, and how long you're going to need it. God knows all of that. And every church that opens up its doors in the name of Jesus Christ has a different DNA, has a different spirit of leadership, etc. And so, because we don't know all of those intricacies, it is best to pray and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit tell us where we are supposed to be. Number two, membership means we are different, but we still work together. Number two, membership means we are different, but we still work together. Rainer contrasts church and club membership status when he says, and I quote, "With a country club membership, you pay others to do the work for you. With church membership, everyone has a role or function," unquote. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, and I quote, "If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it," unquote. In other words, every part is dependent on the other part doing its job. Amen. And then the third point that Rainer lays out in this first chapter is membership means everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. Number three, the third principle, membership means everything we say and do is based on a biblical foundation of love. Here is where we enter into the love chapter. Once again, I urge you to read it for yourself. Rainer says that while there is nothing wrong with reading 1 Corinthians 13 at a wedding, its original meaning was really to convey how church members should relate to one another. And so I invite you to do that. I invite you, I know that we've heard that and we've read that, and some of you have read that at your friends' weddings, and I know I've read it as a pastor many times at weddings, but let us read it and read it in the context of the local church, and I bet you that you'll get another appreciation for it. And then the principle number four, the fourth principle, church membership is functioning membership. Number four, church membership is functioning membership. Rainer says that biblical church membership is unlike what many people take as church membership. He says, and I quote, "Sure, you can remain on the rolls of many churches and never show up or give. You can remain and quote unquote active member in other churches by being a CEO Christian, Christmas and Easter only. You can even be a revered member in a number of churches by giving a nice sum to the church each year, even though you never lift a finger in service or ministry. Please understand that type of membership is not biblical membership. That approach to membership is man-made, man-centered, and man-maintained. It is totally contrary to what the Bible preaches. It has no place in our churches," unquote. Lest I hold you too long, lastly, at the end of every chapter of this book, and we want to get used to this, there is a pledge. There's a pledge. I now invite you to repeat these words after me. I am a church member. I like the metaphor of membership. It's not membership as in a civic organization or country club. It's the kind of membership given to us in 1 Corinthians 12. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must be a functioning member. Whether I am an eye, an ear, or a hand, as a functioning member, I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize. I will study. I will seek to be a blessing to others. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And Father, how grateful we are for this Pentecost Sunday weekend. We thank you, O God, for your word, and we thank you for teaching us how to be the church. We ask, O God, that you would continue to bless this series. Allow everyone who listens to it to be enhanced and emboldened in your spirit and in your love and in your understanding. We thank you for your many blessings to us. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. God bless you.